Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
Okay, today we'll be talking about biblical promises and principles for your prosperity. And I was very deliberate in asking you to bring your notepads to church today so that you can learn. Please learn. Bring it out a bit. I want you to learn as much as you can. So open your Bibles and then don't get distracted at any point. Let your mind be here. Let your attention be here. We started talking last week. There's still the noise. Open some open to keep your hands there while I'm talking. We started speaking last week on prosperity. God's will for you is prosperity. And I'm sure I said some things that may not have aligned with your theology before now. But I want your heart to be open. Please let your heart be open. Don't come to church with a religious mindset. If you come to church with a religious mindset, you're going to miss out on a lot of truths that your religious or previous paradigm has boxed you in out of. And then you would think is not true, or you would box yourself out and then miss out on the truth. God's will for you is prosperity. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have money and not just some of it. God wants you to have a lot of it. God wants you to be wealthy. God wants you to be prosperous. And I started mentioning people in scriptures last week, and that these people were children of God and they were prosperous. I said also that Jesus was not poor. Jesus was not poor. There's an image that the enemy had projected for a long time, painting Jesus as a poor person, painting Jesus as someone who barely, you know, survived. And had to live one day after the other. And that's not true. And I gave you a lot of instances to prove that Jesus was not poor. And one I didn't say last Sunday was the fact that there were people who came to see Jesus. Wise men, the Bible said they were. The Bible didn't say there were three. So that's the first error. There were not three wise men. The Bible said they brought three gifts. The enemy, in some way, added three to the wise men. It's not true. And Jesus was born in a manger, like I said, not because they couldn't afford an inn, but because there was no room for them in the inn. Particularly when the shepherds came to see them, the shepherds met them at the manger. But when the wise men came to see them, the wise men met them in the house. They had moved into a proper house by the time the wise men were going to come. Now, the wise men that came were not just beggarly looking, poor looking, tattered, battered looking people. They came into the city and they had direct access to King Herod. Anyone who could have direct access to King Herod was not a poor person. Imagine somebody coming into Abuja and going straight to Aso Rock. That person couldn't have been a poor person. The wise man that came to see Jesus was actually an international diplomatic representation. It was a caravan of wealth. People came and they were strong and intimidating enough for their very appearance alone to compel Herod to ask for the scribes and the Pharisees to do a research. Is it true that a king will be born in Bethlehem? If there were some beggarly looking people with spurs and incense and candle, if that was all that they brought, the king wouldn't even bother himself to ask anybody. You know it's a lie. That these people are just looking for money. But the way he came, he said, no. Go and call the. They brought in all the Pharisees. Everybody come. Find out. Is it true that the king was supposed to be born in Bethlehem? And after they convinced the king that it was true, the king begged the wise men, please, when you come and you find him, tell me. So I can come and see him too. If he was not convinced that they were saying the truth, he would not have asked them that, to do that for him. And when they didn't come back, do you know what the King Herod did? What did he do? He murdered every child 2 years below. If he was not sure that they were saying the truth, he wouldn't have done that. So those people are not some poor-looking people. They were wealthy. It was a rich caravan. They came in with camels. They came in with gold. And they opened their treasure box and gave it. Even if Joseph and Mary were not wealthy before then, they were wealthy from then. I'm telling you the truth. Don't let the carpenter fool you. The entire basis of civilization in those days was built on carpentry. Their roads were carpentry. Their houses were carpentry. The carpenter is a popular person. It is Joseph, the carpenter. So Jesus was not poor. Jesus was not poor. Jesus Christ was not impoverished. And I want that to sink in your mind. Jesus, say it again, say, Jesus is not poor. Now, does money matter as a child of God? Is it important for me? Is your hand still in Psalm 112?
Yes,
keep it there. Is it important for me to have money? Is it important for me to be wealthy? Is it important for me as a child of God? Is it something that is critical for me to be wealthy? Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you breathe upon your word in our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, specially for every single person that is out of my voice, that nobody will go back home still darkened, still obvious, still ignorant, still in the dark, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, shed light in our hearts through your word. Lord, let transformation come by our word this morning. Let every single person, every single man and woman here go back knowing fully well, with a full grasp on the knowledge of what you have made provisions for us for in your word. In Jesus' precious name. Financial prosperity for a believer is not luxury. Financial prosperity for a believer is a responsibility. You have a responsibility to be wealthy. Write it down. I am supposed to be wealthy. Any serious believer, any believer that knows the essence and the weight and the eternal value of souls, knows by now that he or she should be wealthy. Money is not luxury. Money is not a carnal thing. Money is spiritual. If money was just carnal and casual, Satan would not base all the entire of his dynasty and his power on money. Money is not just a casual thing. Money is a deep, serious matter. You may be here today and not have money. And trust me, you will not go to hell because you don't have money. You will make heaven if you don't have money. In fact, you may even make heaven faster because you may die of hunger or sickness. So poverty does not stop from going to heaven. You may even get there faster. But not having money, even though does not stop you from making heaven, can stop many others from making heaven. Because there are people who will never hear the gospel except money comes through it. Salvation is free, but the gospel is expensive. Salvation is free, paid for, but the gospel is expensive. It's expensive to preach the gospel in books. It's expensive to print the gospel and print the Bible. It's expensive to broadcast and publish the gospel. It's expensive to fly from nation to nation, spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel is expensive. And your lack of money can stop someone from hearing it. Someone say, I'm responsible for my wealth. Say again, I'm supposed to be wealthy. Money or the lack of it can determine whether someone hears the gospel or not. But someone says, but pastor, but we can't all be rich. Why do you choose to be poor? Why is it you that should not be the poor one? Honestly, if all of us assume here that it's not possible for everybody here to be wealthy, that okay, our pastor, it's not possible. Why is it you that will be poor? When I was on campus, I had very faith confessions for my academics. I'm always talking about my academics, always talking about my academics, my work in school. Confessing it, even though I was not a very serious student. But I came out with a very strong grade because I made sure that I kept confessing strongly about my academics. I remember I went to one of those exams one day and I came out from the exams and it was a very difficult exam, very difficult. As I came out, somebody walked up and said, Bro Philip, how was the exam? I said, fantastic. Great. Couldn't have been better. The guy said, but nobody may pass. I said, all of you are free to fail. Every one of you, 1, 2, 3, all of you, except me, all of you are free to fail. So even if we agree by wild imagination that not everybody here can be wealthy, why did you choose to be the poor one? Why? Psalm 12, are you there? Verse 1. Let's go. Psalm 12, help me media. Verse 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord, help me do more. Yes. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord. Yes. And delights greatly. Someone say delights greatly. Now, I need Dumont's mic working. Please help me. All right. Yeah, continue.
His seed shall be mighty upon
the earth. The Bible says his seed shall be mighty upon the earth.
The generation of the upright shall
the
be blessed.
The generation of the upright. So is this man we are describing is a righteous man. This man is not a Yahoo boy. This man is not a corrupt politician. This is a righteous man. It's a man that is right. The Bible says the upright. He's an upright man. He does what he should do at what time he should do it. He's a perfect man. Can you want to say next?
Wealth and riches shall be in his
wealth
house.
Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Wealth and riches. In the house of a righteous man. In the house of this upright man. The Bible says wealth. Somebody say wealth. You see, wealth is stronger than riches. Enduring wealth shall be in his house. Can you want to say next?
Righteousness endureth forever.
So even though he is wealthy, it doesn't affect his righteousness. Wealth is in his house, and yet his righteousness endures forever. Looks to me like some kind of rich, righteous kid. This man is rich and he has a big house. And his big house has wealth in it. You know, you don't put wealth in small houses. Big house. Someone say big house.
Big house.
Somebody has a problem with people building big houses. Let me work something on your mind. You know, Bishop Oyedepo built a house for Kenneth Copeland in Canaanland. A mighty house. Anytime Kenneth Copeland comes to Canaanland, he sleeps there. He comes only once a year. He sleeps there once a year. Big house. Once a year. There are people who are cleaning the house. And he comes there only once. Someone say once a year. Once a year. Ken Copeland is a wealthy man. I don't have a problem with his wealth. I love him with his wealth. He has an anger in his house. He packs his plane in his house. You know, people have any part. This man has a anger, has a wrong way in his house. He flies from his house. So, wait. The Bible says this righteous man, upright man, ah, somebody say God. Is that why I came to church today? Yeah, you came. The Bible says this man has a wealth in his house. He has a man, he's a righteous man, he has a big house. And he has, so Pastor Brock Copeland comes only once a year to stay in the house. And someone would have complained. What's wrong with my mic? Someone would have complained. Am I vibrating? This mic is sound is vibrating. Are you sure? It's not fine from here. You can hear me, Abby. I'll just continue. Blue somebody seems to like this topic. Some would have said, why are they wasting the money? Waste. How many motherless babies home? How many people are in our house? How many poor? All the poor people? Why didn't they use all that money to build houses and estates for poor people? Did that sound like Judas Iscariot when they were pouring oil on Jesus? And I'm going to come there. Jesus says, the poor, you always have. There's something wrong with the sound. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. And God is a God of abundance. Do you know that coconut trees in the forest right now that nobody's eating from? Answer me now, church. Are there mango trees in the forest now that nobody's eating from? There are mangoes in the forest that nobody's eating from? Are there pawpaw trees in the forest that nobody's eating from? That the fruits are falling on the floor and they are doing what? Rotting. Do you know that since the history of trees and fruit bearing, God has never been angry with a tree that bore so much fruit that the fruits were rotting. He was angry with a tree that bore no fruit. God is not angry with a tree that overbore fruits so much there's nobody around to eat it. That should do something to your mind, Abby. Continue what I say next. Help me do more. Unto the upright.
Riseth light in the darkness.
Yes.
He is gracious and full of compassion
yes.
and righteous.
He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. You know, compassion is not sympathy. The difference between compassion and sympathy is that compassion does something about it.
Yes, sir.
Poor people can do nothing about it.
Hey.
people can do nothing about it. The only reason why we remember this good Samaritan is because he had box. He saw the man in need. He picked him up, put him in his ride. He was going to pray in Jerusalem. He passed through Jericho. He dropped the man in the hospital and said, please, I'm going to pay for his drugs. I'm going to pay for his treatment. I'm going to pay for his accommodation. I'm going to pay for his feeding. If by any means you guys expended more than I paid for when I'm coming back from Jerusalem, I would pay you up. You see, that is the difference between good intentions and actions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Nobody would have remembered the good Samaritan if he didn't have money to pay for. Intentions are not enough. You need box. Someone say, I need box. The Bible says he's full of compassion. When he sees the mother, he says, oh, yeah, with 500 million, be okay. It does something about it. When he hears that people are going to say, oh, he doesn't say, God help us. Let's hold our hands together and pray. He doesn't do that. When he hears that he comes to a street and their transformer has blown, he says, how much can we get? You guys have been in dark for like 2 months. How much can we get a new one? Can somebody come to my office to get a check? That's compassion. Compassion is action that come. It's not pity, not sympathy. The Bible says it's gracious and full and is righteous. You have to be rich, oh. You see, there's nothing that scares Satan more. Listen to me. I want to pray for you. I am talking to you as your pastor.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing that scares Satan more than a rich believer.
Yes, sir.
You see, if you put 10 prayer warriors on this place like this, and they are praying, and they are praying, and they are praying, they must pray for God to supply wealth.
Yes, sir.
You can never build a building with prayer points. When they are praying, they're saying, God, supply, God, supply. God must by somebody supply the wealth. Because we don't transact faith in the market.
Yes, sir.
Faith is the currency of the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Money is the currency of the earth.
Yes, sir.
Souls is the currency of eternity. So we have faith in the spirit for money in the physical to gain souls for eternity.
Yes,
are you following my point? Is full of compassion. Help me, what does it say next?
A good man showeth favor and does what? And lendeth.
Does a poor man have to lend?
No, sir.
The Bible says a good man lends. Are you a good man?
Yes,
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for light this morning. Please, I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I'm not playing. I'm serious. I'm serious. Prayed for you. I'm praying for you. In the next few years, when I say we need 1 trillion naira in SLC, when I say we need 1 trillion, two people will write me notes and say, Pastor, my friend and I will bring 500 billion each. Please don't stress anybody in the next few years. And I'm calling those things forth from now. The Bible says a good man lends. He has to lend. What does it say in the more?
He is gracious.
Yes.
He will guide his affairs with discretion.
He guides affairs with discretion. Yes.
Surely he shall not be moved forever.
He shall not be moved forever. Government in, government out. Economy in, economy out. His economy is from somewhere above. The Bible says he's not moved forever. Yes.
He shall be in everlasting remembrance.
Everlasting remembrance. Listen to me. Listen to me clearly. The righteous is remembered. This man is righteous and is wealthy. And the reason why some children, they do 100-year anniversary of their parents. 100 years. Papa don't die. 100 years. Because the great grandchildren are still eating from his wealth. They carry his picture. It's no longer clear, but they put it on Guardian.
Black and white.
Our pa Josiah.
100 years anniversary is of eternal remembrance. Because the guy is bitter. I love you, daddy. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children because he's thinking beyond his immediate need. He's thinking about his children's children. He's a good man. A bad man does not think about his children's children. A bad man is only thinking about how he's going to survive his own life. And so you suffer and suffer, and children still come and suffer. Abba, your suffering is a waste. Your children should glide on the sweat of your efforts. They should come in, and you have made connections in high places. And they say, go and call General so and so. Just tell him you are from. Just say, just as my son, I would have called him. And you go there. You see, that's why you should not be angry with people who have connection. Eh? These are your friends now. They're your children's connection tomorrow. If you like, don't make wise friends. If you like, don't build with your friends. So much so that you are here, that one is there, that one is that, and this one's child needs an access to that place, and you can easily call that DG, who's going to call that RG, who's going to call that MD, who's going to open the place for your child to come in. A good man thinks of his children's children. What does it next?
He shall not be afraid of evil tidings.
He shall not. What's mean of evil tidings? Bad news. Something is coming. Oh, no. He's not afraid. Next, what I say next?
His heart is fixed, trusting in the
His
Lord.
His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Yes?
His heart is established. He shall not be afraid.
His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Yes?
Until he sees his desire upon his enemies.
Yes?
He had dispersed.
What does it mean to disperse? NLT for that verse. NLT.
They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever.
Are you following what I'm saying? Are we still describing a righteous man? Bible says he dispersed. Someone say dispersed. He still scatter. You see, I'm not counting it. He scatter. Be thinking like that. God, I must be able to get to that point when I'm able to scatter wealth like this. The Bible says their generous gifts are remembered forever. What does it say next?
They will have influence and honor.
They will have influence and honor. Continue.
The wicked will see this and be infuriated.
Why are they influential and honorable? If you read the book of Job, chapter 29, it will tell you why. I don't have the time. We can't go through that. Money is not bad. It is the love of money that is the root of evil, not money. Money is innocent. It is the love of money that is the root of evil. Money is not bad. You see, money takes on the character of the one that owns it.
Yes, sir.
Money in the hand of a bad man is bad money. Money in the hands of a good man is good money. Money is good. And God wants you wealthy. There is none of the patriarchs that was poor. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. Abraham. Genesis 13, verse 1 to 2. Give it to me. I'm going to read from Amplified and KJV. Genesis 13.
So Abraham left Egypt.
13, 1 to 2. Yes.
So Abraham went.
Yeah. No. Give me King James for that.
And Abraham went up out of Egypt.
Is your eyes on your Bible? Are you writing down the scriptures? Okay, so what does it say?
And Abraham went up out of Egypt.
Yes.
He
yes.
and his wife.
Yes.
And all that he had.
Yes.
And
two.
Lot with him.
Verse two
and
now.
Abraham was very rich in cattle.
Now, the Bible says Abraham was very rich in cattle. And what?
In silver.
In silver.
And in gold.
In gold. Abraham was how rich? Very rich. Is Abraham our father of faith? Is Abraham our father of faith? Father Abraham? You know, Father Abraham has a bosom. That's how powerful he was. When he even got to heaven, everybody that came to heaven was staying in his bosom. But poverty is terrible. Poverty is terrible. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. Look at me. Poverty is a curse. Do you know that poor man that went to heaven and went to Abraham's bosom, he didn't have bosom on heart, he didn't have bosom in heaven. The rich man that was in hell had the audacity to tell Abraham to send that man. that's in your Bible? Lazarus come over here. Send Lazarus, because they sent him on earth. They want to send him in heaven. He says, send him to put his hands in water, come and feed me here. That's how terrible this thing is. See, I'm supposed to be wealthy. I am wealthy. Give me verse 2 of this in Amplified. Verse 2 of that chapter.
Now Abraham was extremely rich.
Somebody say extremely rich. Extreme. Extreme. He was extremely rich. He was rich overboard. He was too rich. He was too rich. How did Abraham get too rich? If you look at Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, Abraham's servant was explaining. Genesis 24 verse 1. You are reading from the Amplified for me. Genesis 24 verse 1.
Now Abraham was old.
Abraham was old.
Well advanced in age.
Abraham had gotten advanced in age.
And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all
things. The
Bible
says God, who blessed Abraham? Answer me now. You know, church, I would have loved to preach in another way, but I want this thing to, you know, I want it to enter. That's why I'm emphasizing like this, because religion is a terrible thing. As much as I'm trying, like, some people are still not agreeing with me. Their religious mindset is saying, never, it's not true. Never. This thing that says, this is why we are in church, this is why we are in money. Money is not money. That is the devil. Listen to me. I have prayed before I came here. The Bible says, a God that blessed him, he was old, so he didn't die young. Abraham didn't die of diabetes or arthritis or rheumatism or any kind of thing. He was old and God had blessed him in everything. What does he say next?
Abraham said to his servants.
That's verse 2. Yes. That's verse 2. No, give me verse 34. So jump to verse 34. Still amplified. Is this amplified?
Yes.
Correct. We are giving verse 34. Quickly.
So he said. I am Abraham's servant.
Now, you see, Abraham, listen, Emma Bo. Abraham's servants went to look for wife for Isaac. If you see the convoy he took there, even if Rebecca was not very sure about the will of God, when they told her that those camels that you watered now, they are going to be your own camel, he said, you see, I've been praying about this.
Yes.
You know that she packed her bag and followed him the next day.
Yeah.
Women have been women from the beginning. Let me come back, please. Sorry. He followed the stranger. Next day, the brother asked him. He said, no, brother, go and read it by yourself now. The brother asked her. And she said, no, I'm very sure. You know, this is the will of God. This is what God is. God has even saw this in a vision. The Lord showed me this kind of things. Next day, she has packed her bag, left her family, left everybody. Verse 34 said, listen, don't be angry with wealth. Don't be angry with people that get things done properly because they are well dealt. Don't be angry with wealth. God can see your heart. If you're angry with wealth, you will not be rich. The Bible says, I am Abraham's servant. Continue what to say next.
The Lord has greatly blessed my master.
The Lord has greatly blessed my master.
And he has become great.
And he has become great.
Wealthy, powerful.
Wealthy and powerful. So, who blessed Abraham?
God.
Now, the blessings of God are not only immaterial. The blessings of God are not exclusively spiritual. God used to bless immaterial things too. The Bible says the Lord has greatly blessed and he has become wealthy and powerful. What does it say next?
He has given him flocks and herds.
Who gave it to him?
God.
Who gave Abraham all those stuff?
God,
yes.
And silver and gold.
And silver and gold.
And servants and maids.
And servants and maids.
And camels and donkeys.
And camels and donkeys. See everything that God gave to Abraham. Now they will teach you the old New Testament, you know, New Testament addicts. Everything is New Testament. Everything is New Testament. Everything is New Testament is spiritual. Spiritual blessings. Everywhere they put all those blessings, it was them that put spiritual there. There was none of those places where God put spiritual. Bible says he has blessed us with all blessings. He did not say, he doesn't say you are is exclusively, is not material. And the fact that he has even blessed you in, with blessings in the spirit in the New Testament does not contradict or negate the material blessings he made provided for you in the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
So Paul and Jesus did not cancel Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is not the opposite of Abraham. Jesus is not the opposite of Abraham. The blessings of the Spirit through Jesus and the Holy Ghost is not contradictory or does not render useless and unscriptural the blessings God gave us through Abraham. The Bible says God has blessed him and he now has sheep and flock and staff and servants and gold and silver. And he had become extremely rich. Isaac, Genesis 26, verse 2. Genesis 26, verse 12. Let's look at Message translation for that. Message translation. Genesis 26, verse 12 to 14. Isaac
planted crops in that land.
Is that Message translation?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Isaac planted crops in that land and took in a huge harvest.
Someone say huge harvest. Someone say, I'm taking in a huge harvest.
I'm taking in a huge harvest.
Isaac planted crops in that land, and I want you to know that that land was a farming land. The Bible says he took in a huge harvest. Yes, what does it say next?
God blessed him.
Ah. You see, when you hear blessed, it's an empowerment to prosper.
Yes, sir.
When you hear blessed, let your mind go to spirit, spiritual things, and material things instantly. When you hear blessed, think spiritual things, material things. Spiritual things, gifts of the Spirit, miracles, blessings of the Holy Ghost. Immediately, material things, gold, nice stuff. Are you following my point?
Yes, sir.
Let your mind think. The Bible says God bless. And what happened next?
The man got richer and richer by the day.
The Bible says his wealth was growing by the day. He was getting richer and richer and richer. And richer by the day. That's Isaac. Isaac did not rest. Even though the father was wealthy, the wealth and the blessing on Abraham did not render useless God's blessing on Isaac.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says he was growing richer. Someone say, I grow richer and richer.
I grow richer.
What does it say next?
Until he was very wealthy.
He was growing richer and richer until he became very wealthy. Yes?
He accumulated flocks. And herds. And many, many servants. So much so. That the Philistines began to envy him.
The Philistines are unbelievers. You see, it was normal in those days for unbelievers to envy believers. Amen. Do you think those unbelievers envied him because he was praying for a very long time? When they said the Philistines were envying him, do you think because when they passed his house, they saw that he had already poured anointing oil on all the ground? Eh? When they said the Philistines were envying Isaac, was it because of the fact that he was always going to church every day? Why were they envying him? Eh? He was wealthier than them. He was wealthier than the entire nation of the Philistines together. God said concerning Israel, and Christians are as much as the children of God as Israelites were. He said, you will be the envy of all nations. They envied him because they saw how he had grown rich. Somebody say, I'm wealthy. Ah! Jesus, help me this morning. Let me jump Isaac because I don't have too much time. Go to Jacob. Jacob chapter 30, in Genesis chapter 31, verse 43. KJV, yeah.
And Laban answered and said unto Jacob,
These
daughters are my daughters.
These daughters are my daughters.
These children are my children.
Yes.
And this cattle are my cattle.
Yes.
And all that thou seest is mine.
Yes.
And what can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto their children?
That's Genesis 31:43.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So if you look at Jacob coming out of that, give me verse 44 too. What does verse 44 say?
Now therefore come thou.
Yes.
Let us make a covenant.
And I'll let it be for a witness between me and thee. So this was Laban. After Jacob left Laban's house, the Bible says Jacob had become extremely rich. So much that Laban, who was Jacob's employer, I had to be pleading to enter joint venture agreements, to enter business agreements, to enter shareholder agreements. To do company, you see, I was, you know, see finish may have entered it, but the blessing will override see finish. You see, you could have been working with someone and you have worked and worked, but when the blessing of the Lord comes on you, it can compel agreements. Because you see, I have observed that by you, the blessing of God has even come on my own flock. God wants you to be wealthy. In 3 John verse 2, popular scripture, so I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So here's the principle. God wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. You know, when you build a building, you start with the foundation. No matter how much you want to build a building, fine building, you want to fill it with all kinds of nice furniture, you cannot undermine the place of a strong foundation. If the foundation is not strong, no matter how beautiful the building is, it's going to collapse. So the Bible says God wants you to prosper. Listen, this is where you need me the most. Listen to me very closely. How do I walk into this? He says, I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. Now, it looks, this is very simple, but it's not simple. Because in the spirit, you find a lot of believers who want to prosper without wanting to lay a foundation. There's a way people prosper in darkness. There's a way people prosper in the kingdom. There's a prosperity model for the kingdom. It's not like the one Satan does. Satan can, you can even enter, you can even do blood ritual today. And by tomorrow morning, you have bought a Range Rover, but they said that you must not enter it with your shoe. None of your family member must enter it. The day they enter it, you run mad. You know, but the kingdom has its own style of prosperity. God says, I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. It is important for God that you grow financially as you grow spiritually. God knows that it is dangerous to put a lot of money in the hands of someone who has not matured enough to be able to handle it. God knows that when you put prosperity in the hands of someone who has not mastered or matured in the spirit, that prosperity can even run them dead faster than they would have been dead if they were poor. Where people get money to buy drugs. You know, I know a particular singer here in Abuja. He won 20 million, 20 million from some of these, what's their name, all these competitions. 20 million. And when he won 20 million, he came out from the 20 million. His church was so impressed that the church, his church is a very big church. I mean, all of you know the church. I don't want to mention the name of the church. The church contributed money. I think they gave him under 10 million. Make it 30 million. Very, 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 you know, plenty money by then. It's about 7 or 8 years ago. Do you know what this guy started doing? Now, because of the competition, because he won that competition, they told him, you cannot sing any song, you know. We have to be carrying you. You know, they say they always have an agreement. They'll be the one carrying you up and down. You cannot do any personal arrangement. You cannot do any personal song. You cannot do any personal product or personal record. We are the one. So he wasn't willing because he claimed to be a Christian. He's a Christian. He cannot do any kind of thing. So they say, okay, if you're not doing anything, that means you cannot do anything for 2 years. Even though you have won the money, you know, the agreement says you cannot do anything for 2 years. So this guy started importing prostitutes from India. Prostitutes from, you know, it was just useless to God and the devil at the same time. He started importing prostitutes. I know him personally, one-on-one. He started importing prostitutes from UK, and he rented a very nice house, big house here in Abuja. He would buy blue jacket, blue shoe, blue socks, blue shoe, blue sunshade, blue car. He was spending money like no man's business. He was utterly destroyed. Why was he destroyed like that? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. The prosperity of a fool will destroy him. His life was better off without that money. Are you following my point? His life was making more sense without that money. That is why God is very keen on making sure that you grow
spiritually first before you begin to grow financially. He wants you to grow in your soul and grow in your maturity with him first. Because he wants to put money in your hand as a tool. Are you following my point? He wants you to understand that this money is for an agenda. If money comes into my hands now, I'm telling you the truth, Philip Olubaki, if you give me 500 million now, I can finish spending it before next weekend. Because there's an agenda. There is already fire on the altar. We're just waiting for the offering. I'm telling the truth. I understand that money is a tool in the hands of a righteous man. Did you notice in Psalm 112 that we read about? The Bible did not speak about how this man was able to amass car for himself, amass all that for himself. The Bible says he dispersed. He's a kingdom-minded, wealthy believer. So the scripture was clear. God wants you wealthy as you grow spiritually. So he wants you to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. First thing first. The word of God must take first place and final place in your life. If you're going to get wealth via the kingdom, through the kingdom, the word of God must be your first place in your heart. Seek first, he says, the kingdom of God. If I'm going to be wealthy by God's way, God must see kingdom in your heart. He must see kingdom in your heart. He must see that if this money comes into your hands, there's kingdom in your mind. There's agenda in your mind. It's not how to buy the latest cars, even though all those stuff are okay. But that's not your priority. Are you following me? God wants you wealthy, but he wants you to grow in your wealth according to the growth in your spirit. So with spiritual, money is spiritual, money is important, money is critical. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 8, give me that scripture, Dumo. Jeremiah 28, verse 8. I want to show you a scripture. Jeremiah 28, verse 8.
The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses.
It says the Lord shall command. Look at this scripture. The Bible says the Lord shall command his blessing. Are you writing down these scriptures?
Yes, sir.
Are you writing them down? It says he shall command a blessing upon you in your storehouses. What is the meaning of storehouses? Eh? That means you have enough to now keep. Are you following my point? God wants you to have more than enough so that you have for yourself and then you have extra to keep. And in all that thou settest thy hand to thee. So somebody can say, no, Pastor Philip, that storehouse is actually talking about your spirit. It's your spiritual capacity. So that because of those kind of people that used to confuse scripture, God further explained it in verse 11. Look at Amplify, verse 11. What does it say? Verse 11. This is verse 11. So I can understand what he's talking about. Verse 11, Amplify. What does it say?
The Lord will give you great prosperity.
Yes.
In the offspring of your body.
That's Amplify version.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says he will give you great prosperity in the offspring. So if I think it's AMPC, Amplified Classic Edition. He said he will give you surplus, plenteous. So you understand when he says you need a storehouse, it's because he wants to give you plenteous. You must understand that the word of God must take the first place in your heart. And you must believe God for your wealth as much as you have believed God for your health.
Yes, sir.
If the same way you're not going to allow cancer to come on your body, how many of you are going to allow cancer to come on your body? You say, God forbid. That's the same way you must say, God forbid to thoughts of lack.
Yes, sir.
The same way, praise, can I on this AC? I think it's getting hot. Am I the only one who got a moon jacket? Let him on this. The same way I will not allow sickness on my body, I will not allow poverty on my life. I need to be wealthy. I need it. It's not a luxury. It's a need. I can never do the things God has called me to do if I don't have money. You will never be able to achieve what God has called you to achieve in your life if you don't have money. Never. Holy Spirit must find a way to get money to your hands. By all means. Even if you're called to help people who are addicted to drugs and crack. If that's your calling. Do you know how much they admit one addict in a rehab? How much? The cheapest one we found. How much was it? 400,000. One person. To admit some. And you still be going there with provision and all those kind of things. So Imagine you want to admit only one person in a rehab. And you say, Pastor, the Lord is speaking to me. I want to be seeing people off the street. I want to see 400,000 per one person. For 1 month. And they'll tell you that person must be there averagely 3 months. 1.2 million on one person. You say, I see multitudes of people living the streets. 1.2 million times multitude. Multitude million. That is the amount of money you will need to get those guys off the streets. That is why money is important. It is not a casual thing. You can never. We have to pay for this place. We are going to Lagos now to hold a meeting in Lagos. It's costing us well over 3 million to hold 1 day meeting in Lagos. Over 3 million naira. Well over 3 million naira. To hold just 1 day meeting. Pray for people. See them get blessed. Impact them and come back to Abuja. And that's gone. They would always remember somebody came and touched their lives. Who knows? Maybe one soul. Maybe the word of one soul. God said you can never commit the word of one soul to the entire resources in the world. You know when Lucy was going to UK, my wife and I were there. Lucy was telling us that the budget for the outpouring in UK for one night was over 300 million. Inclusive of all the cost of flights and people running the program there, over 300 million for one outpouring event in UK. The one they held in UK, that Nathan Abasi was there. Did you see that video? Nathan Abasi was there. Yes, that meeting you saw cost over 300 million. Not over 300 spirits. Not over 300. They cost how much? 300 million. So you see that money is important. Let me tell you the truth. As spiritual as we are, if we cannot pay for the place, they are going to ask us to go. We can come and say, Father, we take the land. They'll say, we agree. But pay. We have no problem with you taking the land. So long as you want. All those things you see happening in the ark, in Winners. You saw the ark building. You saw it growing. All those things are paid with money. Bishop did not say, I am the bishop of the Living Faith Church. Our church is built on faith. I hereby faith this building. They are not going to agree. That is why if you are a serious believer in this place and you are a child of the kingdom, you are a child, you know that there's a urgent responsibility on your life to be wealthy. If you are somebody that just wants to go and mess up your life, you might not have that kind of feeling. But if you are somebody that you know that God has sent you to the kingdom and you are a child of the house, you must be wealthy. You must be wealthy. So I wrote out scriptures for you. I can't read it out because I don't have time. But you can write it down. Number one, I wrote out 20 scriptures for you. 20. You know, I have 100 healing scriptures. So I have prosperity scriptures. And I've written 20 out of them for you. Genesis. Yes, I chose out of them. Because I wanted to choose the ones I felt you flow with. Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, number 1. Number 2, Genesis chapter 13, verse 5 to 6. Number 3, Genesis chapter 39, verse 21 to 23. Number 4, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. Genesis 39, verse 21 to 23, that's number 3. I'm on number 4 now. Number 4, Leviticus 26, verse 3 to 5. Number 5, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Who knows Joshua chapter 1, verse 8? Joshua 1 verse 8. Who knows Joshua chapter 1 verse 8? Next one, Job 36 verse 11. Give my wallet. Job 36 verse 11. Job 36 verse 11. Psalm 1 to 3. Who can quote Psalm 1 to 3 to me? Psalm, stand up. Quote it. Psalm 1 to 3. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Verse 3. It's complete. No, no, it's naira. It's not. It's not dollars. You know. It's naira. It's naira. It's not dollars. Naira is cancer than dollar now. Next one. Psalms 23 verse 1. Psalms 34 verse 10. Help me with that. Do more. Psalms 34 verse 10. Psalms 34 verse 10. Psalms 34 verse 10. Yes. Yes.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger.
Wait, don't worry. Read it. Don't worry. Read it. No, read the word. Yes, read it. And that one will come. Oh, yeah, read it. 34 verse 10. The young lions do lack
and suffer hunger.
Yes.
But they that seek the Lord,
yes,
shall not want in any good
thing. Someone say, I don't want any good thing. No, so the Bible didn't talk about need, it talked about want. So it's not about your daily needs. It was talking about even your fantasies. So you want a Ferrari. You want a Lamborghini. You want a Rolls Royce. You want an airplane. Yes. It says, the one that seeks the Lord, that's your scripture, shall not want any good thing. All right? Psalms 35 verse 27. Psalm 6, are you writing that on Psalms 35 verse 27? Psalm 68 verse 19. Psalm 68 verse 19. Psalms 112, which you already read today. Psalm 112 verse 1 to 9. Psalm 115 verse 11 to 16. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 to 10. I want you to go home and meditate on all the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 25. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. Who knows it? Isaiah 1:19. Proverbs 1, Isaiah 1:19. Romans 8:32. Give it to me on screen. Romans 8:32. Help me. Who knows offhand? Who knows that? Hold on. He that did not spare his son, but will he give it us? The Bible says, shall he not also? So look at that. Can you look at me? Look at me, please. I want to beg you. I'm begging you this morning because I have prayed to God that I want at least 50 millionaires from SLC this year. One has already happened. We're waiting for 49 left. Yeah, there are others that have also happened too that might not know. But we're praying and believing God. I'm believing God. I'm praying. You understand? The Bible says that he that gave us a son but delivered him up, Abby, shall not what? Now, that all things, is it only Holy Spirit? Is it only Big Bible? Does it mean that I'm undermining the Holy Spirit? Does it mean I'm undermining this word of God? What I'm saying is that it includes that and many more. The Holy Ghost and more. All things is all things. Did you know that they did not put spiritual in front of that all things? They did not say all spiritual things. He said all things. Is car a thing? Is house a thing? Is a good husband a thing? In the sense conservating. A wife is a thing. Children. He will give you freely. Someone say freely. All things. All right? Romans 8:32. That's the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. We're going to read this one finally. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. 3 John, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 to 7. Philippians 4, verse 19. Who knows Philippians 4, verse 19? 419. 3 John, verse 2. I've quoted that already today. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7. We're going to end with that, all right? Promise, I'm ending now.
But this I say.
Yes.
He which soweth sparingly.
Yes.
Shall reap also sparingly.
Yes.
And he which soweth bountifully.
Church, please look at this. Look at the scripture. Keep your eyes on the scriptures. Keep your eyes, always keep your eyes on the scriptures. The Bible says, in him you will find light. Always keep your eyes on the scriptures. That's how I got healed. I kept my eyes on the scriptures. I knew the scripture by heart, but I was not keeping it before my eyes. And I stayed sick. And the Holy Ghost says, no, you have to read it. If you need nourishment from an apple, you don't remember how it tastes. You eat it again. So I knew the scriptures offhand. I could quote over 20 scriptures on healing by heart. I knew them by heart, but I had to keep eating them again. So you look at the scripture. The Bible says, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap. You see, so sowing comes before reaping. Bountifully. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. What's the next verse say? Next verse.
Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give.
Let him give.
Not grudgingly. Of necessity.
Yes.
For God loveth
so
a
God
cheerful
wants you to
giver.
Give as a cheerful person. And it claims that this sowing is what you have to do before you reap. Next verse, verse 10.
And God is able to make.
God is able
to make all grace abound towards you.
He's able to make how many grace?
All grace.
All grace abound towards you, yes?
That ye always that, having all sufficiency.
Now, you see, so that we can understand this thing very well. That mic is not good. Go to Amplified Version. From this verse 8. Verse 8. I mean with Amplified Media. Verse 8. What does it say? Yes? Our mic is not working.
To make all grace.
Keep your eyes on the scripture. Keep your eyes on the scriptures. God is able to make all grace, yes?
Every favor and earthly blessing.
He now explains. He explains what he meant by grace. Because some people are in this church now. They'll say, grace? That's the grace of God. Which commands us not to sin. So he explains it. How does he explain it? What does it mean when he puts the bracket? What does it say this?
Every favor.
Somebody say earthly.
Earthly.
Say earthly.
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 It says that grace, what it means is every favor and not spiritual blessings. Earthly blessing. Yes? Continue. What does it say next?
Come in abundance to you.
How does this earthly blessing come to you?
In abundance.
Somebody say abundance. Abundance. What does it mean of abundance?
Excess. Overflow.
More than you need. Every miracle you see God do, he will do more than they need. When he turned bread to fishes, he could have just made it again. That the last person just it has finished. He made sure that there was still excess. God is a more than enough. You know, I was telling my children, I was driving them to school. I was telling them, and I said, Tino Oluwajade, your name means come out from God. That's what your name means, you came out from God. Tino Oluwajade. He said, what about Tiwa? I said, Tiwa Oluwa means God is ours. He said, what about Tony? I said, Tony means Oluwa, Tony means God is enough. Tino said, but God is more than enough.
Yes, sir.
I said, maybe we would have named that Oluwa Tony Law. Because, you know, for the first time, I said, I didn't think like that. I said, but God, why do you say God is enough? God is more than enough. That's how she talks. And that's the kind of abundant thinking.
Yes, sir.
God is more than enough. He says, abundance. Come to what is the next?
So that you may always.
Somebody say always.
Always.
Now, I am reading from the New Testament. I have deliberately kept this scripture as the last. I saved the best for the last. So if you are here, you are Paul's disciple. This is Paul speaking. If you are here saying, J, he's not, this is Paul. Paul says that you always what?
Under all circumstances.
Always and in under all political parties. Under all economic conditions. Under all economic situations. He said, always under all circumstances, do what?
Regardless of the need.
Regardless of the need. You see, we are not led by price, we are led by the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
We are not led by the cost, we are led by God's direction. He says, buy it, the cost, irrespective. He said, irrespective of the need. What does he say next?
Have complete sufficiency.
You have complete sufficiency, yes?
In everything.
Every. It's not that you have money today, you have money tomorrow. This is the New Testament I'm reading from. God does not want you broke one day. He said, every day. Continue. What I say next?
Being completely self-sufficient.
You are self-sufficient. You can hold your own ground. You don't borrow loan from bank. You don't apply loan app. Only you have about 15 loan app on your phone. Now they have sent your picture that you have HIV. That's not God's plan for you. This is not God's plan. You see, when I want to pray for people who are sick, I show them scriptures. I was going to pray for a woman who was sick. Showed her scripture. I preached. I showed her scripture for 3 hours. I showed her page by page, 3 hours. And I prayed for her for 1 minute. She was healed that week. Because it is the word that transforms, not prayer. Your prayer is not hard because it's loud. It's not hard because it's long. It's not hard because people were plenty that prayed it. Your prayer is hard by God because it is based on the word. So I'm showing you scriptures. It said that you always are self-sufficient. Otojubo. Not every day you are calling for help, calling for help. You are self-sufficient. What is it next?
And have an abundance for every good work.
You have abundance for every good work. And
act of charity.
So if they say people need something, you can put your hands in your pockets and give them. This is God's will for you. As you are now. If there's a need at home, you can give to it. There's a need in your compound. Pumping machine has spot. You are the only one that's not contributed. God forbid. You are in a group in the church. They say all of us are contributing. It means your explanation upon explanation. Excuse upon excuse. No cash, no cash, no cash, no cash. The Bible says you are always having, irrespective of cash crunch. The word of God is true to you. One of our bank friends was telling me, she's in our church, she's in this place. She said they got about 200 million naira. They brought it to a particular bank. And somebody gave her that. They strip it off, sent to somebody. One person. 200 something million. New notes. That's the country we're in. So when you are complaining, they're completely complaining. There are people. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Black man, no fair. There are people that don't know what they're doing. What time is that? Is that true like that? Was it? They don't understand. Truly, they don't understand. You see, you can choose your own divide. You can choose the complaining divide or choose the benefiting divide. Yeah. That every policy will benefit me. I'm a benefit child. Bible says, it daily loaded me with benefits. Every day I am benefiting. APC, I am benefiting. PDP, I am benefiting. LUP, I am benefiting. I am benefiting all across board. Because my economic is from above. It says always, under every circumstance, regardless. We notice all those scriptures and all these things, there's nothing spiritual about this thing. Everything is money. Because some people are still not comfortable. Pastor, can you just preach on healing? Can you just preach on the Holy Spirit? I just want to pray. I will pray. You just want to pray. I understand. I have no problem with that. I'm going to pray too. Then after we have prayed, then we'll pay. We are not going to pray and start explaining. We pray and pay. What I'm talking about. You go to a carport, you like a car. You know, Kenneth Copeland and his wife. Kenneth Copeland likes bikes, power bikes. I don't know if someone driving bike. After all the cars, the bike, planes, I like bikes, I like bike. So he went to the place, he saw a bike, and he was there with his wife. And his wife said, oh my God, did you see the baby sweet? Did you see the skin? Very nice. He said, you can have it if you want it. You see, Pastor Kisley said, Pastor Midget bought him a car, $10,000. When he said it, he said he likes antique cars. He said, $10,000 with all the poor people. All we are saying in this country, they don't like the poor. They just have a problem that you are enjoying your life. And the Bible says, he said, talk to all the rich among you, 2 Timothy. Those that are rich, that they should not depend on riches. But on God who gives us freely all things to enjoy. Freely. So I kept this scripture for you. So that you can see what God's will for you is. Right where you are seated. You are going to bow your head and begin to confess God's word. And say, Father, this is your will for me. I walk in wealth. I walk in plenty. I have abundance of all things.
in the name of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want any good thing. I don't want any good thing. Pray like that. Pray like that. I don't want any good thing. I don't want any good thing. Everything that I have is met. Everything that I have is met. Everything that I have, my needs are supplied. I'm much more than my needs. I have a supply more than my salary. The blessing of God is upon my work. I have a meat that comes from heaven. In the name of Jesus, I have all my needs met and much more than that. I have all my needs met and much more. I sow abundantly and I reap abundantly. I sow abundantly and I reap abundantly. I sow abundantly. I sow. I'm a sower in the kingdom and I'm a reaper in the kingdom. Karabaka shataya. Pray. 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 He said that you will have always, always, always abundance of all things, everything that you want, everything that you need in God, that you will not lack. Your days of lack and the days of poverty are over. Is somebody praying? Speak to your finance. Speak to your work. Speak to your business. Say, my business, pick up. My finance, pick up. In the name of Jesus, my business, pick up. My finance, pick up. Clients call for me everywhere. Ah, the king sends for me. The queen sends for me. The king is my minister. The queen is my nursing mother. I declare that strangers come and help me build my walls. I have abundance of all things. My needs are met. My ministry needs are met. My assignment needs are met. Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying? Hakashila bataya. Embrakata yabaha. Everything that I desire from God is supernaturally supplied. Ah, I enjoy promotion. 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 From above, from above, from above. Ikabaradesh kabatalabahaya. Embamboskupa papre kate kaba shekarabatele kebataya. Pray, 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 pray. I enjoy financial flourishing. Flourish. I flourish in everything I do. I prosper.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.